My name is Art Allen, and I've been involved in using in my own life and in the life of my parish and some of the other work that I do, guided imagery meditation for about 3 or 4 years now. It's been a real valuable tool in my life and in my work, and I was glad to have an opportunity to share it with you folks here at Holden tonight. I thought I might begin by giving some background about simply meditation in general and what some of the various techniques are that are available, and then specifically what guided imagery meditation, how you go about that, and some of the uses that I have found for it as a tool in my faith, and then we'll go through a guided imagery meditation this evening. Meditation gets defined in a lot of different ways, and depending on what kind of a background the meditation techniques come out of, really depends on what the meditation looks like or what it feels like when you're doing it. I guess for me, maybe it's an oversimplistic definition, but meditation is kind of being relaxed in body but alert in mind, which differentiates from sleep in that you're relaxed in body and relaxed in mind. And indeed, a lot of times in meditation, especially in the early stages of your participating in meditation, you may find yourself falling asleep, that your body gets relaxed and then pretty soon your mind gets relaxed too, and you drop out. Well, that's okay sometimes too. You may indeed meditate so that you'll go to sleep at night. That's one of the effective uses for meditation. I have found in my own experience that I'm using meditation in kind of three different areas of use in my life. One is in Bible study. You know, most of the time when we do Bible study, we do it with our heads. And there are lots of helps around for us to help us do head-type Bible study, to try to understand who the authors were and what they were, who the people they were writing to, and what all of the intricacies of Hebrew life and all this sort of thing. And that's all good, and it really helps us to understand a great deal, with a great deal more depth, what is in the Scriptures. Meditation, for me, guided imagery meditation, has helped in my Bible study life because there are also feeling levels and emotions in scripture passages that a lot of times you can get in touch with those better by the use of the tool of meditation than by head work. And so that's one of the valuable ways that I have used meditation. The early church, in many different places in the early church life, you see that they used imagery meditation in Bible study to help people get in touch with what was really going on life-wise in some of the biblical passages. Now, of course, I should give a word of caution about using meditation in Bible study, because one of the things that I really learned in seminary is that, I knew it before, but I became thoroughly convinced of it, is that not everything that comes into your head is the Word of God. And so not everything that you may encounter in a meditation may be the Word of God for you. And so it's good, I think, to do, if you're going to use meditation in conjunction with Bible study, to do it in a group process so that you have the church community to check with, so that the things that have come out of your meditation upon a biblical passage, you can make sure that they're, you know, that you can verify that they're coming out really of the Word of God. You can test them with the Bible, the rest of the Bible itself, with the history and the traditions of the church, and you can test them in then the fellowship of the church and see how other people have experienced those too. The second area that I have found meditation to be helpful for in my life of faith is in relaxation. You know, it's, well, what do I need to say about the need for relaxation? I think all of us, no matter what status in life we are, we can really get wrapped up in concerns and worries to the point where they may get in the way of our ability to act. As Christians, we need to be concerned. We need to take upon ourselves the worries of those people around us as we're trying to be our brothers and sisters' keepers. But if we get concerned to the point where all our energy is drawn simply by the concerns and we can't get around to acting, then we need to have some balancing in our lives, some relaxation. And certainly you see this in the life of Jesus, as recorded in the Gospels, that many times he and the disciples left the situation where all the concerns were and went off somewhere to pray. Not going to necessarily forget what's back there, but to sort of renew, to gain new strength, to gain new insight in how to best be able to deliver love in those areas of concern. And you see this also in, I think, the lives of all model saints that I've ever read about. There's a balance in life of withdrawal and engagement. And meditation has really been helpful to me in times when I, in my pastoral work, have been hearing other people's troubles and other people's troubles over and over. And I have a tendency, I've found, to take everybody else's troubles too personally. And maybe after I've helped them work through a problem, they may be going on fine, but I've still got it, you know. And so meditation's really been helpful to me to be able to unload some of those unnecessary anxieties and to go on and to regain some energy to be able to help again. And then a third area that I have found meditation valuable in is in healing and renewal. Science is learning more and more these days about what people have known for so many years about the interrelatedness between mind, body, and spirit. In traditional medicine, and really when I say traditional medicine, I'm really only talking about mainstream Western medicine in the last couple centuries, treatment, cures are brought about by chemicals or drugs or surgery. Those are the basic two kinds of things that we use to make ourselves well again in medicine. But many studies now in the medical field are showing how powerful the mind is in affecting the body. And the imagination, I think, is the key to our being able to have some control over our minds. The imagination is many times the ways that we can help to set the patterns of our thinking that then in turn affect the way our bodies react to tension and all other kinds of things. And so meditation is helpful to me, and I see to other people, in feeding through your imagination into your mind so that you can get over some of the troubles you may have in your physical body. Well, there are lots of books that have been saying that very well and showing up some of the studies. Recommend to you Robert Keck's book titled The Spirit of Synergy. Robert Keck was a pastor in Iowa whom I knew when I was in college, and he finally had to really drop out of the ministry because of back pain, and he went everywhere trying to find relief, and spent a journey of I think 5 or 6 years trying through all kinds of things to get relief from the pains he was having in his back. And he's now playing golf again because of the imagery meditation that he has found that helps him to relieve the pain in his back. And because of his own personal journey then, he has been doing a lot of research and collecting of data, and The Spirit of Synergy is one of the first books that he's put out. Really helpful to me in understanding the connection between mind, body, and spirit. Another book that has been helpful to me is Francis McNutt's The Power to Heal. And goes at it from kind of a different angle in some of these things, but also showing the connections between those and our need to take into consideration how our spirits are, how our emotions are when we find ourselves with illness. There are lots of meditation methods around. Some of them can be quite elaborate, with special positions to sit in, ways to hold your hands, and just, you know, about anything you can think of. Breathing techniques, mantras, or phrases that you repeat over and over and over again. And there is a book over in the Holden Village Library titled Hidden in Plain Sight, which lists a number of mantras which have been popular down through the centuries of Christians who have been involved in meditation, and you might want to dig into that if you would be interested in that type of meditation. All of those kinds of techniques are helpful because they act as screens, as blocks to keep out all of the stuff that's running around up there in your head that keeps you from relaxing, that keeps you from settling down and being able to make your body relax so that you can get into a deeper level of your mind and spirit. Imagery meditation, as you may guess from the title, uses an image to try to block and to screen what will be before you in your meditation. Let me give you some personal examples of things that I have used of images in meditation. I use them quite often in the biblical study kind of thing in music writing. One of the things I do is compose music, and I find that I many times come to a dead end in a line in a song or whatever, and over the years I've found that the clearer mental picture I have of what I'm trying to write, the easier it comes out. And so a lot of times I'll sit down with that verse then and try to develop, you know, what is the mental image that's coming through here, and meditate on that image and try to get it into better perspective, and a lot of times that'll make the block be released. I use it a lot for relaxation. And to do that, I have spots where I've been that I've stored away up in my head. I found another one today. I was hiking up behind the tailings up here, and found a quiet little spot, and just laid down there for a while, sat down, finally laid down for a while, and just tried to catalog, store away in my head the images that were there, the visual images, the sounds, the feelings that are there. And then I expect months from now or weeks from now, when I need to relax, that I can recall, hopefully, the image of that place. And it was a very relaxing place, and so the feelings that I had there come back. And I have several places stored up that I can go to when I need to relax. I have a little stream down in southern Iowa that I've been to several times, and a lot of times I can, if I'm really tense about and anxious about something, I can simply go into meditation and remember that stream and really be relieved of a lot of anxieties and then get on with the work that needs to be done. I've had a problem for several years, too, with nasal constriction. You know, when you talk about healing and things, most of the time we think about spectacular things, but I had for several years a problem with evidently some kind of an allergy or something. My nose doesn't run. The membranes simply swell up, close off the nasal passages. Makes it very uncomfortable to sleep. Well, you can relieve that with nose drops and sprays and what have you, and I did for several years. But, and I still do occasionally now, if it gets, if I don't get to it quick enough with a guided imagery meditation. The nose drops have side effects. After a while, it takes more of them to get to work, and the chemicals in them actually irritate the membranes, which makes them swell and return, and you get in a cyclical kind of thing, and it can really be tough at times. So I have developed an image of a, well, this sounds strange, but of a road culvert, you know, the tiles that are underneath the road that the water runs through. And at night, if I'm having trouble going to bed and sleeping because my nose is constricted, I simply imagine that my nose turns into one of those big culverts. And you know, within 5 or 10 minutes, I can breathe fairly easily as you just concentrate on the air going through those great big passages. And somehow or another, because of the connection between my mind and my body, they open up. In some of the studies that have been done, there are places where you can go that will give you images to help you control your blood pressure, the rate of your heartbeat, blood clotting. I saw an interesting on 60 Minutes here last winter of a imagery process where children who are bleeders can actually be able to help the clotting of their blood without chemicals, simply because of what they can do with images in their minds. Yeah. UCLA teaches biofeedback. Yeah. Yeah.
I know the doctors use this type of thing. I was there and very close to death and nephritis. And my doctor would say, now you talk to your kidneys.
Yeah, yeah.
And
yeah.
I really feel that had a lot to do with my getting up.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, certainly it may not work with everybody and every kind of situation, but there have been a lot of people helped, like you, I'm finding. And it's good that our medical profession is beginning to realize things like that, where they can be helpful to avoid all the chemicals and what have you. In these kinds of imagings, you're using a single kind of an image, like she was saying, talking to her kidneys. You use a single kind of an image and you focus on that image until your mind begins to somehow make some kind of connection with where that is in your body. And that image may be an active image, as I see the air and water running through my culvert, or it may be kind of a static kind of an image. But many times those kinds of things can be helpful. Now, a guided imagery meditation, which we're going to do tonight, uses a series of images. It's kind of like a movie, you might say. It may not be as clear and in focus in all aspects as you would go to see a movie, but it's got movement in it, a number of images with movement in it. And we'll do one in a little bit, and as we do one, I will be kind of like the director of the movie, and you'll create your own movie, but I'll give you some directions once in a while. As you can see, this is probably something that you would do in a group most of the time, though one can take a written guide of a imagery meditation and do it yourself. You simply read through what the turns might be or the steps might be until you're familiar with it, and then relax, close your eyes, and go through it by yourself. Well, I find it's usually most effective to go through with a group, and then you can share afterwards, if you want, with some other people what happened to you in your imagery. There are several books that have guides in them, actual different topics that you can go through, different biblical passages. One book that has several in it is Wholeness in Worship, written by Tom and Sharon Neufer Emsweiler, and this is a Harper and Row book just off the press. They cover quite a few other topics in the book, but one of the things that they are using, their Wesley Foundation directors in Illinois, friends of ours, and they've been using guided imagery in worship services, in healing services, in counseling, and other kinds of situations. A little book that I didn't bring with me that I wish I had is written by Carolyn Stahl, which is titled Opening to God, and it's just a tiny little paperback, and it's green with a dandelion on the front of it, a dandelion white, you know, where you blow on it, and that's one of the images that's been very helpful to her in her life, is she lets her worries grow up to be a dandelion, and then God blows them away like the dandelion fluff gets blown away by the wind. And you might want to find that book in a bookstore somewhere, and it has, 50 or 60 different guided imageries in it. After you've done several of those, you might want to just create your own, depending on what your own situation is, like I created the one for my nose situation or other kinds of things. As Christians, I think we do probably best use meditation in groups, though certainly we can do them individually, and they are voluntary. Using them in groups, it is good to share afterwards whatever you feel like sharing about what happened to you, where you went in your imagery. And always when I do this as a group, you know, certainly it's always voluntary. And that's the nice thing about meditation, you don't have to end up going anywhere you don't want to go or sharing anything you don't want to do. So let's sit up and relax a little bit, and we'll go through a guided imagery meditation. It's usually best to, because you're going to try to relax your body as much as possible to get your body in a comfortable position, which usually means your spine's going to be fairly straight and your feet on the floor, and try to relax as much as possible. But I'd lead you through a guided image tonight based upon a biblical passage from the Gospels, chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. And this image is on resting. Jesus says to his followers, "Come to me, all of you who are tired from carrying heavy loads, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke and put it on you, and learn from me, because I am gentle and humble in spirit, and you will find rest. For the yoke that I will give you is easy, and the load that I will put on you is light." Now we might think that that passage may even conflict with a lot of the other sayings of Jesus, where he calls us to go in and really bear one another's burdens and what have you. But that they're both true. They're both ring true to what Jesus offers us, because he wants us to be concerned. At the same time, he wants to help us. So let's relax, close your eyes, and try to mentally search out your body for spots of tenseness for a little bit. And when you find a tense spot, you use your muscles or your position a little bit to minimize that tenseness. Tension in your eyebrows or around your eyes and your face, in your jaw. A lot of people find tenseness in their stomachs. Relax as much as possible. And if you do go to sleep during this process, don't worry about it. And remember that there isn't any right or wrong way to have an image. There aren't any true or false answers. You just go where you go. I want you to think about those tension spots, and we're going to take three or four deep breaths on your own pace. Really take in a big breath and let it out with some sound, so that you're really aware of your breath. Take three or four real deep breaths now. Let that tension go out. I want you to think back over your day, or maybe over the last couple of days, and think of the many things that you've done. Are there some loose ends that still call for some attention? Are there things there that of which you are ashamed? Are unhappy, or perhaps worried about? Reflect on those things for a few minutes. Try to get a clear picture of them. A picture in some way that you could as we go over and pick those worries and concerns up, how would you get a hold of them? Now, imagine in your own way that the Christ is standing here in this room, holding a large basket, and in your image, the Christ comes over to you and invites you to place all your worries, to pick up all your labors, and to put them in that basket. And so you gather them up, place them inside, and now the Christ lays a hand on your head and gives you a blessing. And slowly you feel the effects of that blessing flowing down over your entire body. And the Christ takes the basket with all your excess concerns and troubles and leaves, and you are at rest. And now slowly, as you wish, you arise and open your eyes and return fully to this place. It's certainly always possible that any guided experience may not be right where your needs are, and so your experience may be rich and meaningful, or maybe it just didn't click for you. I'd like for you to get in pairs or in groups of threes and just share a little bit, whatever you'd like, about what happened. What maybe were some of the worries or what they looked like that you put in the basket, and how you feel now or what your experience was like.